Well, good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Y'all doing all right? Yeah, doing well. Nice Memorial Day weekend. Get 3 days off. I'm so glad you guys are here. If you're new, welcome. Very grateful that you would spend your Memorial Day weekend with us. Those of you who are joining us online, we're grateful that you're hanging out with us this morning as well. And just like has been said, we are in this series called Reset because we as a church, we're hitting the reset button. Now, oftentimes when we kind of think about a place like a church hitting a reset button, we tend to think, oh, they must be changing things organizationally. There must be maybe some staff changes. Maybe we're going into a building campaign. Maybe we're going to push a reset button and we're going to change some of our programmings and the way that we do our programmings. Well, we're not doing any of those things, really. What we're doing is hitting a reset button, not on the things that are really kind of external. We're really hitting the reset button on the things that are internal. We're hitting the reset button in the way that we internalize our relationship with God and how we understand him. We're hitting the reset button in how we internalize our relationship with one another and how we relate to each other. And we are internalizing, how God defines or how God sees is our mission and our purpose and our influence in this world. It's all internal. In fact, we're not really changing any programs or anything like that. If anything, what we're doing is we're helping to refocus all of our hearts and our minds back to only one program. God really has only given us one program to use and to leverage, and right, just like any program that you sign up for, how much you put into it is how much you're going to get out of it. Well, God has given you one program to put a lot into it in order to get a lot out of it. Do you know what that one program is? It's only one thing. See, a lot of times when we think about churches, we think about all different types of programs, but there's really, you can hone it into just one program that God cares the most about. You know what it is? Your life. Your life is the program that God has given you to use to know him, to learn from him, to learn how to relate to other people, to understand meaning and purpose of life, and ultimately just to really know God intimately. That's it. It's all of life. Oftentimes, we kind of look towards maybe a church program or a 30-minute message or things like that in order to kind of connect with God, to know God. But you're shortchanging the most important thing in your life, which is your life, that God created you for the real main goal and purpose to know him intimately. Because that's where you're going to find the greatest joy, the greatest fulfillment in your life is in your relationship, a deep and profound relationship with God. And so what we want to do is we want to push the button on some things that we kind of inadvertently do that sometimes we don't even recognize it, that kind of keeps us from really having a really in-depth, intimate relationship with God, that can kind of keep us at God at a kind of a distance or can kind of confuse us or even hurt our relationship with him. And so what we decided to do is we wanted to push the button, the reset button, on leveraging God to accomplish our desires and goals. That we want to say, hey, let's put a stop to leveraging God to accomplish what we want in this life. And the reason why we want to do that is because when we live a life where God, for the most part, 90% of our communication is, hey, God, can you do this? Hey, God, I really need you to do that. Hey, God, they have this problem. God, I have this financial issue. Hey, God, I really need some help here. If that's most of our conversation with God, which if we took an inventory, we might find that might be kind of true for a lot of us, then what we're doing is we're keeping ourselves from really having a very strong, deep relationship with God, because that kind of relationship is just a transactional relationship. It's like having kids or if you're a kid saying to your parents, hey, if all your conversation is, hey, Dad, can I have the keys? Hey, can I have some money? Hey, can we go do this? Hey, Dad, why don't you do that? Hey, Mom, why don't you do this? It's a transactional relationship. There's nothing beyond just giving stuff away. And so sometimes our relationship with God is never really at the point where we really know him. We just know him as the person that we need to help us out when we're dealing with hard stuff. Not only that, but when we don't take the time to really know God well, then what happens is sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers the way that we think he should. If he cares about us or all those sort of things. When we don't know him, we'll ask him for things and then just wondering, hey, God, why aren't you answering this? Hey, God, why aren't you doing this? God, I'm confused. And sometimes what that can do is lead us to a place of even more broken relationship with God, disillusioned. Well, God doesn't care. Well, God, maybe God's not even real. Maybe God's not a living God. And so when we just live in those transactional moments with God, it can be shallow, and it also can confuse us. And so what we wanted to do is put a stop to that and say, as a church family, what we really wanted to work on from here on out is really being a group of people that encourages each other to leverage all of life to know God. To move from leveraging God to accomplish our desires to leveraging all of our life to know God, every aspect of it. To leverage our family relationships, to leverage our work relationships, leveraging encounters with strangers as an opportunity to really know God. To leverage circumstances, all circumstances, to say, God, who are you? What are you about? Is there something that I don't understand? Is there something that I need clarity on? That when we move to this posture in our relationship with God, we get closer to God, because now it's not, I just want something from you. I just want to know you, who you are. And at the same time, God, I'm dealing with some of this confusion of why this is happening. So I want you to process this with me and help me to understand this. We gain clarity, we gain insight as we begin to leverage all of our life, not just a 30-minute message, not just a little quiet time reading the Bible, but all aspects of life, all aspects of circumstances, all relationships to know God. That's where the good stuff is. So this is what we as a church body want to begin to really work on. Because Jesus says this is the thing to work on. In fact, Jesus said, quoted in the Gospel of John, John chapter 17, verse 3, he says, now this is eternal life. The word that Jesus used there is the word Zoe, which means full of life. This is the fullness of all eternal life. This is what will make your eternal life full. This is the good stuff. And what is the good stuff? Is that they know you. And he uses this term of intimacy between like a husband and a wife, that they would know you, God, really, really well. Not just knowledge, but they know your heartbeat. They know what you're passionate about. They know what you're concerned about. They know why you do what you do. That they would know you. That is the fullness of life. The only true God. In other words, the real you. That they would really know you. That we would be a people that would move beyond just our opinions. This is what I think God is. This is my opinion about God. To a group of people that says, okay, God, instead of me pontificating about who I think you are, how about if I just be quiet for a little bit and just listen to you and learn from you and just open up scripture and say, God, who are you? Who are you? The only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so we want to be a people that just continues to really work on this. We also said we want to push the reset button on viewing the gifts that God has given us. He's given us tons of them. And just using them only when we think we need them, all right? Kind of goes back to that kind of first statement. All these statements work together because God desires for us to be people of integrity, which is integrity means wholeness. A lot of these statements overlap together because they all impact who we are and our relationship with God and with each other. But what God wants us to do when we give our life to Christ and he gives us all these beautiful gifts, he doesn't want us just to use them when we think we need to use them. He wants us to make the most out of them so that way we can be constantly using them to know him, to do life with him, to understand him. And so we want to make the most of what God has given us. Caleb talked about some of those things last week. God has given us the ability to talk to him. So talk to him a lot, not just when you need him, but all the time. Know him. God has given you this beautiful gift called the Word of God, the revealed living Word of God, who he is, how he's worked through human history, all of these things. It's a beautiful gift. Use it. It's the most important book in the history of mankind. Use it. You have been given community, people around you to do life with. Do life with them. You have been, if you've given your life to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Use him. All the time to do life with God in a way that will bring the true life and true life to the fullness. Peter kind of said it this way in his second letter, 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given you what? Some things, a little bit of things. You know, you still need some other stuff. What has he given you? He's given you everything, everything we need for living a godly life. You already have it in Christ Jesus. So what we want to do as a group of people is to begin to kind of just work on that and continually to work on that, to continue to remind us what those gifts are, to encourage us to use those gifts, those tools, so that way as we use them, we begin to understand them, we make the most of them, by which then through those beautiful gifts, we have a closer relationship with God. Right? I'm not really much of a handyman, but one thing I do know when I have to work on something, having the right tool is a huge blessing. What's even a better blessing is knowing how to use that stinking tool. If you don't know how to use it, it's no good to you. But how do you know how to use it? You use it in order to know how to use it. So you don't know how to talk to God, just start talking to God. You don't know how to engage in Scripture, well, just start engaging with Scripture. And jump into Emmaus and the programs that they have. But until then, just start off getting in there. Just plug in to community and do life. I don't know how, really know how to do life with other people. Just start. It's all a journey anyways. We're all on this journey to making the most of what God has given us, because everything that he's given us, we already have that help us to live this life to the fullest. Well, for the rest of this time, what we're going to do is we're going to look at two other statements that we as a church are going to continue to work on. And these statements really kind of begin to move into our relationships with each other. But at the same time, one of the things that you're going to see about these statements is that when it comes to our relationships, okay, when it comes to our relationships with other people, actually, God really desires for us to leverage these relationships to really know him. Sometimes, again, we go back to that first statement. Sometimes what we do is we kind of leverage God to fix people. Hey, God, fix them. God, make them better. Hey, God, they're really irritating. Hey, God, help me with this issue. God, do this. God, do that. Rather than basically seeing relationships with all of humanity, with other people, as a real opportunity to really know God. And just also to understand when we do that, the richness of the relationships that God has intended for us to have together as a group of people with Christ as the center of our community. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at these two statements. We're going to look at the things that we want to hit the reset button with and what we want to work on or move towards. So one of the things that we want to move from and hit the reset button is basically this idea of finding a church that has people just like me to make friends. In other words, one of the things I've learned over the last, you know, I've been in ministry for 20 years, and it's been going on for more than 20 years, but one of my experiences that I've had where I've seen a lot of just dissatisfaction within the people of God is this idea or this belief that in order for me to grow or to find fulfillment in my life, I need to find a church with a lot of people just like me who I can be friends with, okay? So I'm going to go look for a church, and I'm going to try to find somebody where there's a group of people just like me. Now, you know, it's getting harder for me to find a church for people like me, because here I am. I'm a 48-year-old man who deals with hair issues and has a 5-year-old kid, all right? So where am I going to go find my community of 48-year-old guys who are balding with small little kids? I'm going to have a hard time finding that. And not only that, well, you know what makes it even harder? Try being a family of five. It's not just about me finding friends who are just like me. Now, it's not just me. Now, it's my wife, so she can find friends who are just like her. It's my oldest son to find friends just like him. My middle daughter to find, you know, girls just like her. And my little 5-year-old to find girls like her. Man, it's really hard to find a church for all of us to find friends like that. In fact, it's one of the reasons why I believe the church is in decline in America, because I've seen the story over and over and over and over that people just can't find churches that click with them. And oftentimes clicking with them is trying to find people just like themselves and for their whole entire family. And so you know what they do? What we do? We just tend not to be connected at all. And so we go on and we live our life in isolation from God and from other people. But not only that, but when we do find those relationships, oftentimes what happens, though, is we still have a very shallow relationship with God when all we do is surround ourselves with people just like ourselves. Because I learned that I cannot have a relationship or do community with people who are different from me. I stay away from them. Or if somebody hurts my feelings or life gets hard or difficult with my friends, then I just go find another place where I can just go find some friends. Not only that, but then it stunts my growth in order to really learn to know how God has loved me, by which how I go love other people. Because here's the thing. If God was all about trying to find a church that would meet his needs and a church that would be a bunch of people just like him, guess what? God would never go to church. There's no church made up of people who are just exactly like God. Okay? If he chose churches like we do, he would never go to church. But guess what? He's here amongst us right now. You know why? Because he loves you. And he loves you. And he loves you. Even though you and I are very different from him. And he loves us tremendously. And so we want to be people that move away from this idea, which is kind of a low bar, to the bar that God has always envisioned for us, where God takes strangers and makes them family. That God wants us to move from just kind of finding friends who are just like us to making us a family. And families have all different kinds of people in it, right? All different kinds of ages and all different types of gifts and talents, even within that same family. It's the same thing with us. That God's ultimate desire is for us to become a family. Now, later on in August and September, we'll unpack this a little bit more about what it means to be a family. Does that mean that we all sell our place and all move on to one little commune or whatever, and we do that? Probably more than what we see from Revelation and all through Scripture is more of a sense of we have a kinship together. We have a kinship because we all have the same Father. Okay, it's kind of more of the idea of going to a family reunion. If you've ever been to a family reunion where there's lots of people, maybe you even traveled to it, and you didn't know everybody there, but you got to that family reunion, you kind of look around and say, you know what, these are my people. Because we have kind of the same background, the same heritage, we have the same lineage. Well, here's the deal. You and I, we've all been adopted into the same family. We're all family by the living God. And so that when it means that we may not be able to know each other intimately as a large group of people, but you know what we are? We are a large family. And there is a sense of kinship by which we can live our lives knowing that we have the same dad. And we have the same household. And we live under the same household. And so what we see here in Paul's writing to the church in Colossae, he talks about how do we begin to relate to each other by which we become a family. And so in Colossians 3:10, Paul says, hey, put on your new nature, kind of like this clothing. You have this new nature now that you're in this part of this new family of God. So put on this new nature, and he'll kind of describe a little bit about what this new nature is. So, but he says, put this on and be renewed as you do what? There it is. As you leverage your life to know God, as you learn to know your Creator and to become like Him. Now, one of the things that we do around here, and we're looking forward to launching this in the fall, is called Rooted. And one of the beautiful things about Rooted is really we do these two things during Rooted. For 10 weeks, we say, hey, what if you just got in a community with other people for 10 weeks and you as a community just did this as a group? That you just leverage your time together and leverage that 10 weeks to really know God. Not just play church, go up to church, show up to church, read your Bible or anything like that. But you would spend this time saying, okay, God, when I go to church, when I read Scripture, when I do my life, everything that I do, I want to know you. And also, God, I recognize that there's areas in my life where I know I need to grow. And so for 10 weeks, what if we just allowed an open-handedness for God to allow us to grow, to ultimately become like Him? And when we do Rooted, we put people together who are very vastly different. I facilitated a group where we had an Asian, we had an African Americans, we had singles, we had married couples, we had all these different backgrounds, different ages, and you could see, and we see this in Rooted a lot, when you put people together and they don't know each other like that, they're looking at each other like, I don't know whether I even really want to do this. Because I don't know whether I even can connect with these people. And I'm not even sure whether I even like that person over there. We see that all the time through Rooted. But when they do these things, learn to know their Creator and become like Him in community through that, guess what we find over and over and over and over? Every single time. By the end of it, they're like, we're family. Man, I feel more connected to other people than I ever before. And they're very different people. How in the world could that happen? You know why? Because they discovered the thing that you and what makes you and I more alike than the food that we like, the music that we like, the culture that we come from, our economic backgrounds, our gifts and talents differences. They find, people go through that, what makes us more alike than different. You know what it is? It's to learn to know your Creator. All of you are in here, and you came on this Sunday morning when you didn't have to because you really want to know your God. That makes every single person in here the same. You look around this room, every single one of us want to know our God. We're probably in different places and things like that in our relationship with Him, but we still all really want to know Him. I want to know God even more. I've been a Christian, Christ follower for 20-something years, but I've just, you know, the tip of the iceberg of really knowing God. I want to know Him more. And every single one of us see areas in our lives where we need to grow, where we have brokenness still or hurts or things that we need to clean up, some junk. We're all in this together. We're all alike. And when you walk in a journey in a community and understanding these things, you kind of look around and go, oh, we're totally different, you know, backgrounds. But now that we're hearing each other's stories, we're a lot alike. We're a lot alike. And guess what? God knows that. God knows that. It's the way He created us. The beautiful thing about knowing that when God is the anchor and He's the center and it's a body of people who are wanting to know Him as a creator, guess what? We can then begin to really enjoy each other's differences because now we've begun to know our creative creator. That all of us know and experience that, wow, God is very creative in the way that He gives gifts to different people. It's really cool. It's really neat how God creates people to look differently. That's really neat. So there's a sense that none of these things begin to divide us. They begin to bring us to go closer together because now we appreciate each other's differences because we're all unified by our common creator. And we begin to give glory to His creativeness in the way that He has made us. All glory to God. In fact, Paul says this and he goes on in verse 11. He says, in this new life, guess what? It really doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Asian, African, European, American, South American. Doesn't matter if you're 80 or 8 or whatever. It doesn't matter your economic background. Doesn't matter your skill sets. None of that stuff really ultimately matters. Paul says this is what really matters. That Christ is what? Some, a little bit, the most. No, He's all that matters. And He lives in all of us. All of us. That's what makes us more alike than different. That's what binds us together as a people, as family. And so what we want to do is we want to be a people, and we know we got a lot of work to do, and we're going to continue to work on this until Christ returns because of all of our, you know, our sin natures and our struggle. But we want to be a people that continues to work on our commonality of Christ as the center. He's the one that we come to find our unity, okay, as a family, and to do life together as a family, and to celebrate God's creativeness and our diversity as we live in unity with Christ who lives in all of us and that He matters. The other thing that we want to push the reset button to that I see that kind of stunts our growth with God and our relationship with God is sometimes we think of people, that people are kind of a distraction to our growth, right? You know, sometimes we kind of hear a baby crying in this worship service and you like get all mad, like, ugh, they're agitating, they're keeping me from worshiping God. I'm not close to God anymore now because a baby's crying. You know, all glory to God, you know? Or some of us, we have kids in our small groups and it's like, oh, I can't grow because there's kids here. There's too many distractions. Or maybe, you know, you're having a quiet time and the phone rings or something happens. And you're like, ah, just messing up my quiet time. Sometimes what we tend to think is sometimes that people are a distraction or they keep us from really knowing God. It could be that person that just annoys you. It could be just Christians in general. It could be, you know, the thought of going, why do I even need to go to church? I don't even like Christians. I don't even like people. In fact, I'm going to go down to the beach and I'm going to open up the Bible and it's just going to be me and God because that's what, you know, it's just connecting with God. That's worship, right? Well, here's the deal. If you ever do that, here's the thing. Make sure that you really read your scripture really well, listening to God. Because here's the thing, and this is what's going to really irritate you. God's going to move you back to people. He will not allow you to be on your own. In fact, we want to move from this to the reality that really, honestly, moving closer to God moves us closer to people. In other words, what I mean by that is if you're at the beach and you're reading the Bible and you're flipping there and you start from, oh, hey, Romans, let's look at Romans. And you start reading the first few sentences, you'll kind of go, oh, hey, well, Paul's writing to a church, a group of people in community in Rome. All right, now let's go to another one. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's read Ephesians. All right, let's go to Ephesians. I'm going to read through Ephesians. You start reading the first few sentences of Ephesians. Paul's writing to a group of people in community in Ephesus. Okay, I'm going to go read Timothy. All right, I'm going to go read through Timothy. Paul's writing to Timothy about how to lead this community of people. You cannot read through scripture and recognize that God is constantly moving you back into people, even though you don't even like it. But here's the reason why God keeps us moving back to people. Yes, it is to learn how to love other people, but here's the thing, that God also moves us towards other people because it moves us closer to him as well. God, I don't know how to deal with this. God, I don't know what to say. Well, it's good. You're talking to me. You're processing. That's a great thing. You're moving from just say, hey, God, go fix that person, to say, God, how is it that you desire for me to relate to this person or work through this? What is it inside of me that gets me stuck in this situation when I'm in these relational issues or whatever, and process and begin to process these things, to begin to see these relationships as an opportunity to know and to learn God, to learn from God, and also to begin to become like God rather than just, you know, seeing some people as just an annoyance to you know, either deal with or to walk away from. Because if you really follow the Lord, he's going to move you towards other people. And if you refuse to do that, that caps your relationship with him. It will stunt your growth because you cannot keep yourself isolated from other people and grow in your relationship with God, because you will just not do what he asks you to do, and you will not trust him, and you will not learn from him, because so much of what you have to learn from God is through your relationships. In fact, Paul says it this as he goes on in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, since God chose you to be holy people, different kind of people that he loves, you must clothe yourself again with that idea. With what? With tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Why? Why, Paul? So that we can become good people? No, that's not his ultimate goal. As we saw just in a couple of sentences before, really, is so that you can know your Creator. You know why? Because you know what? Your Creator has tender-hearted mercy towards you. And you know what? Your Creator is kind towards you. And you know what? Your Creator is humble. He humbled himself to even to become man and to give up his life like a criminal for us to have a relationship with him. And we begin to learn from him about what it means to be gentle, because he's gentle, and to be patient, and we become like him as well. And so in verse 11, or verse 13, he goes and he says, you know, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Because remember when you're doing that, you're remembering and learning from your Creator, because he forgave you. So you must forgive others. Now, it's interesting that all these lists, all these things, gentleness, kindness, you know, tenderhearted mercies, all of these attributes are for relationship. That God always desires for us to connect and learn how to connect better with each other, and to learn from him how to connect, because he's the one who took the initiative to connect with us, even forgiving us in our sins. And he says, verse 14, above all, here's the most important thing. This is what you need to clothe yourself with, which is love. With the goal of what? The goal of binding all of us together in perfect harmony under the love of Jesus Christ. And so when we begin to move closer to God, he will move us closer to other people, because it's in that we learn his character, the way that he loves us and cares about us and the way that he deals with us. We're all hard, by the way. Just in case you didn't know, see, we all tend to think that other people are hard. We're all hard, okay? But even though we're hard, God still loves us. And so what he does in our lives is he teaches us how to go and love other people who are just like us, hard, that reflect his glory and his goodness, by which the goal is to live in harmony and be family. In verse 15, he goes and he says this. He says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace." As a family, everybody together, clothed with love, clothed with forgiveness, clothed with tenderheartedness, clothed with kindness, clothed with, "Oh man, I'm sorry, I got sideways, had a bad day, had a bad moment, please forgive me," you know, clothing. So that way we can live in peace and live in harmony and always be thankful. I want to give you, just to end my time with you here, with a case study. Because these aren't just things that were in the early church, just kind of nice little sayings and kind of maybe perhaps one day we might be able to taste a smidget of that. What you will see here in a moment in Acts chapter 6 is a little bit of a case study of how this whole idea was worked out. Because in the early church, the church was growing like crazy. And in the early church, there was this diversity that was beginning to come together. And when that diversity began to come together, guess what happened? Boom. Conflict. Pride came in. Selfishness came in. Looking at other people differently and being against them because of their differences rather than these things. And we see how that was worked out in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent." All right, the Christians are getting mad. "The God-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers." Now, it wasn't that they had just different language barriers. There was cultural differences as well here. I don't want to get into that, but I just want you to see that these are two different kind of groups of people. And so the Greek-speaking believers were complaining about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in their daily distribution of food. In other words, there was one group that was hoarding more food for their peeps and ignoring the needs of the others because of their differences. Now, what do we do? How do we do this? Especially in the American church here in the 21st century. This is what we do in the American church in the 21st century, in the 20th and 21st century. You know what? Here's what we need to do. We need to plant two different churches. We need to plant a Hebrew-speaking church, and we need to plant a Greek-speaking church. Because then we won't have food distribution issues anymore. Because now they'll be like-minded, and they'll be able to get along very well together and be fine because of their differences. There will no longer be discrimination because they'll be apart from each other. It'll be great. Or, you know what we need to do is we need to, basically, to make things easier on everybody, we need to have a Greek-speaking small group and a Hebrew-speaking small group. That way, you know, everybody will be happy and everybody will be content and we'll have harmony. Mm-mm. Nope, that's not what they did. It's not what they did. It's not what we're called to do. Because the issue is not the fact of their cultural differences. Their issue is their pride and their ego, by which they disunified themselves from all that matters, which is Jesus Christ. And what became more of a matter was their language or their culture or their thoughts and feelings about another people group. But that's not what they did. They didn't separate these two groups. They got a group of guys together who were filled with the Spirit, who were wise people to deal with this issue from the heart, that then found its way through the distribution issues. Verse 2. He goes on in the next verse. "And so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers, brought them all together," not separate them, but brought them together. "And they said, 'We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program.'" And so in verse 3, he goes on, "And so, brothers, select 7 men who are respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom in order to deal with the heart issue of what's going on here." Because we are family. We're family. We need to learn how to love each other as a family. Instead of just disbanding because we have differences and we got sideways with each other, instead of just, you know, breaking into small little subgroups of our affinity of like how we are in order to maybe we'll have less, tension that way, maybe we just really need to go back to recognizing that all that really matters is Jesus Christ. And he's in all of us. He's in all of us. Greek speaking, Hebrew speaking, English speaking. He's in all of us. And so as we as a church family, as we kind of think about these statements, so the first two statements, like I said, really were kind of geared towards our relationship with God, that we would leverage everything that God has given us, leverage all of our life to know God, but also to recognize that we would also leverage our relationships with other human beings. All human beings. It could be a spouse. It could be a family member. It could be a brother. It could be a parent. It could be, they could be great family members. It could be not so great family members, but they are opportunities for you to really know God and do life with God. It could be work-related. It could be strangers. All of these things that God has put into our lives in order for us to really know Him and to know Him well. That we wouldn't just be people who just run away from those things or just settle for shallow relationships of just hanging out with people just like me. In fact, I'm always discontent. In fact, this is the sad thing about me. I'm discontent a lot of times with me. And so, man, it's really hard. If I can't find anybody that you know, connects with me the most, I'm the only person that really connects with me the most. And even then, I'm not very I'm not always contented. But maybe my issue is not trying to find things that fit me. Maybe really what I need to do is remember that Christ is all that really matters. That I leverage my life and what's going on inside of me and through my relationships to really know my Creator and to become like Him. We're gonna sing a song here. And this song is really just a way for us to pause a little bit and to say, okay, God, I want you to speak into my heart about some of the areas in my life, but maybe I've disconnected from other people, or I've looked at church a different way, or I thought about what relationships are supposed to mean in a way that doesn't really kind of add up to your vision or what you desire. That God, you would just help me to kind of begin to work on that, to begin to continue this relationship with you, to learn how to love other people the way that you love me. Because the first step in everything that we do and everything that we talk about here is really drawing near to God and processing all of these things with Him. You will be surprised if you leverage everything to know Him. You will be surprised. Father, as we just continue on in our worship, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts through your Spirit and draw us closer to you. To recognize and help us to recognize that you are all that we need. We think that we need circumstances to change. We think that we need to change in our giftings and our talents or the way that we look. We need to change or surround ourselves with people just like us in order for us to be happy and fulfilled. And God, we've been doing that our whole lives, but I bet every single one of us would secretly think, you know what, am I really fully satisfied with that? That God, my hope is that today what we would do is we would find our satisfaction in one and only one thing, which is you. As Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And so, Father, we draw near to you to learn from you and to know you. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.